This is Audible.
Declutter your mind. How to stop worrying, relieve anxiety, and eliminate negative thinking. Written by Barry Davenport. http://liveboldandbloom.com. And Steve S. J. Scott. http://www.developgoodhabits.com. Narrated by Greg Zarcone. Copyright 2016 by Old Town Publishing, LLC. Audiobook production by Archangel, Inc. Show notes. Thanks for purchasing the audio version of Declutter Your Mind, How to Stop Worrying, Relieve Anxiety, and Eliminate Negative Thinking. I know what it's like to listen to audio content. You hear an important link but can't immediately write it down. So I put together show notes of every link that's mentioned in Declutter Your Mind. You'll also be able to obtain a PDF reference edition to accompany this audiobook, which contains all the images referred to in the text. You can find all of that here, http://www.developgoodhabits.com/mindnotes. That's www.developgoodhabits.com/mindnotes. Again, that's http://www.developgoodhabits.com/mindnotes. Your free gift. As our way of saying thank you for your purchase, please enjoy this free 3-part mindfulness meditation series hosted by Barry Davenport. You'll be guided through meditations to help you relieve anxiety and worry, feel more confident and self-assured, and release negative, limiting beliefs. These meditations will complement the habits and techniques you'll learn in our book. You can find the link in the show notes, Guided Mindfulness Meditation Series with Barry Davenport. Introduction. How thoughts determine our outcomes. Very little is needed to make a happy life. It's all within yourself, in your way of thinking. Marcus Aurelius. Ever feel overwhelmed by your thoughts? Do you struggle with stress or anxiety about the tasks you need to complete on a weekly basis? Do you want to simply stop worrying about life in general? We all experience negative thinking from time to time. But if you often feel overwhelmed by these thoughts, then you should closely examine what you're thinking and how your thoughts impact your mental well-being. This inner monologue is a natural part of your mental landscape. It's there all the time, night and day, reminding you about the groceries you need to pick up, shaming you about missing your sister's birthday, or making you feel anxious about current headlines, like politics, the environment, or the current state of the economy. These thoughts are the background noise of your life, even though you may not always be aware of their constant presence. Take a second right now and pay attention to your thoughts. Try to stop them. It's hard, right? You'll see how they keep streaming in, one after another, unbidden and often unwanted. Some of your thoughts are random and useless. My arm itches. It looks like it's going to rain. Where did I put my keys? On the other hand, many of our thoughts are intrusive and negative. That guy is a jerk. I really screwed up that project. I feel so guilty about what I said to Mom. Whether they're negative, neutral, or positive, these thoughts clutter our minds, just like your home can get cluttered when you have too many possessions. Unfortunately, clearing your mental clutter isn't as simple as eliminating a possession. You can't throw away a thought and expect it to stay gone. In fact, like a never-ending game of whack-a-mole, your negative thoughts have a way of popping back up as soon as you slap them down. Why we think negative thoughts. Now, imagine your mind is a fully organized home. A home that's free from extraneous draining and useless items that agitate you. What if you could surround yourself only with thoughts that uplift, inspire, and soothe you? Consider for a moment your mind as a peaceful, cloudless sky, and you have the power to choose what floats across. If that cloudless mental sky is so desirable, then why do we think so much, with so few filters to sort the positive and necessary thoughts from the random and unnecessary? Your brain contains about 100 billion neurons, with another billion in your spinal cord. The total number of connections between neurons, the cells responsible for processing, has been estimated at 100 trillion synapses. Our powerful brains are constantly processing all sorts of experiences and analyzing them in the form of thoughts. Thoughts form what we perceive to be reality. We can control and direct our thoughts, but it often feels like our thoughts have minds of their own, controlling us in how we feel. Thinking is necessary for solving problems, analyzing, making decisions, and planning. But in between the times of proactive mental endeavors, the mind roams like a wild monkey, dragging you through the brambles of rumination and negativity. Your constant inner dialogue distracts you from what's happening around you, right here and now. It causes you to miss valuable experiences and sabotages the joy of the present moment. Absurdly, we assume we need to think more or harder in order to figure out why we aren't as happy or fulfilled as we wish we could be. We try to pinpoint the possessions, people, and experiences that might quench our longings and ease our unhappiness. The more we ponder our despair, the more despondent we become. Our thoughts make us restless, empty, and agitated as we project into the future or look to the past for answers. In fact, nearly every negative thought you have relates to the past or future. It's common to find yourself trapped in a looping cycle of regretful thinking or worry thoughts, even while feeling desperate to escape the never-ending tape playing in your mind. Not only do you struggle with your thoughts, but you also struggle with your inability to be free of them. The longer the negative thoughts continue to loop, the worse you feel. It's almost as if there were two of you, the thinker and the judge, the person thinking the thoughts, and the person aware that you're thinking them and judging how bad they are. This thinking-judging dynamic infects us with painful emotions. The more fearful, guilt-ridden, regretful thoughts we have, the more stressed, anxious, depressed, and angry we feel. Sometimes our thoughts paralyze us with bad feelings, and it's those feelings that rob us of inner peace and contentment. Although our thoughts are the culprit responsible for so much distress, we assume there's not much to be done about it. You can't stop your mind from thinking, right? You can't shut off your brain at will or rid yourself of the mental chatter and associated feelings that prevent you from enjoying life fully. Occasionally, we have unexpected moments of mental peace and quiet. More often, however, we try to quell the mental chatter by self-medicating with too much food, alcohol, drugs, work, sex, or exercise. But these are temporary solutions to muffle the noise and ease the pain. Soon enough, our thoughts are back at it again, and the cycle continues. Are we destined to be victims of our monkey minds at all times? Must we constantly battle our thoughts and allow them to drag us down with worry, regret, and anxiety? Is there a way to have a clear mind, free of negativity and pain? You may not be able to keep your mental house free from clutter all the time, but you can impact your thoughts enough to improve your quality of life and overall happiness in a profound way. Thinking may seem automatic and uncontrollable, but many of our thought patterns are habitual and, well, thoughtless. Although it appears you and your thoughts are inseparable, you do possess a conscious self that can step in with intention and manage your thoughts. You have far more control of your thoughts than you think. When you learn how to control your mind, you open a door to the vastness of creativity, inspiration, and brilliance that is just behind the clutter of those untamed thoughts. Through various mindfulness practices and practical habits, you can disempower your thoughts and have more space in your mind to enjoy inner peace and happiness. You'll have the clarity to prioritize what's most important in your life, what no longer serves your goals, and how you want to live on a daily basis. Introducing Declutter Your Mind. The goal of this book is simple. We'll teach you the habits, actions, and mindsets you can use to clean up the mental clutter that might be holding you back from being more focused and mindful. Instead of just telling you to do something, we show you how practical, science-backed actions can create real and lasting change if practiced regularly. Declutter Your Mind is broken down into four information-packed sections that you can use to change a specific aspect of your life that might be causing you to feel stressed or overwhelmed. Specifically, we cover these topics. 1. Decluttering your thoughts. 2. Decluttering your life obligations. 3. Decluttering your relationships. 4. Decluttering your surroundings. You'll find that this book is full of exercises that can have an immediate, positive impact on your mindset. Since there's a lot of material, we suggest you read it all the way through one time, and then go through it again to identify the one area of your life that needs the most work. In other words, You should find a quick win that will have an immediate impact on your life. Who are we? Barry is the founder of the award-winning personal development site, Live Bold and Bloom. She's a certified personal coach and online course creator, helping people apply practical strategies to push past comfort zones and create happier, richer, more successful lives. She's also the author of a series of self-improvement books on positive habits, life passion, confidence building, mindfulness, and simplicity. As an entrepreneur, a mom of three, and a homeowner, Barry knows firsthand how valuable and life-changing it is to simplify and manage both our inner and outer lives in order to reduce stress and enjoy life to the fullest. Steve, or SJ, runs the blog Develop Good Habits and is the author of a series of habit-related titles, all of which are available on Amazon at habitbooks.com. The goal of his content is to show how continuous habit development can lead to a better life. Together, we are the authors of two previous books about mindfulness and leading a less complicated lifestyle. 10-Minute Declutter, The Stress-Free Habit for Simplifying Your Home, and 10-Minute Digital Declutter, The Simple Habit to Eliminate Technology Overload. Not only do these books teach practical actions to control your material possessions, they also show how eliminating the noise in your life can have a positive impact on mental health. Both of us have different reasons for not only adopting the following principles, but also deciding to write this book in the first place. Barry's story. Over the last few years, Barry has had a profound shift in her lifestyle and life priorities. Feeling an emptiness in her life and often dealing with generalized anxiety, she began a personal quest to find what she felt passionate about beyond her role as a mom, and to figure out how to quiet the voice in her head that triggered the anxiety and suffering she experienced. Her journey led her to a new career as a personal coach, personal development blogger, teacher, and author. Through her work and research, she encountered several profound aha moments when she learned more about mindfulness practices, simplifying and identifying a few life priorities where she wanted to spend most of her time and energy. She recently moved from a congested and busy suburb of Atlanta to Asheville, North Carolina, where she enjoys a slower pace of life in a town that focuses on healthy living, great food, interpersonal connections, nature, and music. She downsized to a much smaller house, getting rid of many of her possessions and streamlining her wardrobe. She prioritizes relationships, experiences, and meaningful work over things, money, and prestige. In her daily life, she tries to focus on balance and being present, using meditation, exercise, and time in nature as her tools. Steve's story. For many years, Steve led a pretty simplistic lifestyle. But since the second half of 2015, he has experienced four major life event changes. Marriage, a new baby, buying a house, and starting a brand new business. While all of these events have been amazing, they've also led to an increased amount of stress in his life. At first, Steve felt overwhelmed by these changes, but he eventually learned how to simplify what goes through his head, and to be in the moment with whatever he's doing at the time. So now when he spends time with his wife and son, he is 100% in the moment. And when he's working, he completes important tasks in a productive flow state. The strategies that Steve and Barry both use to overcome the stress in their lives aren't easy, but they definitely work, if you're willing to work at it on a daily basis. These are the strategies that you'll discover in the following book. Why you need to read Declutter Your Mind. This book is for anyone who recognizes how their untamed thoughts are interfering with their focus, productivity, happiness, and peace of mind. Declutter Your Mind will be a good fit if you often find yourself trapped in anxious, negative, and unproductive thinking, lose valuable time, focus, and energy because of overthinking and worry, feel frustrated and confused about how to stop negative and compulsive thinking, have experienced times of high stress, agitation, anxiety, and even depression as a result of mental overwhelm. Find yourself looking to money, possessions, work, success, or prestige to fill a void of emptiness or sadness you feel. Feel so busy, overwhelmed, and stressed that you've lost touch with who you really are. Find yourself turning to distractions, alcohol, drugs, and other compulsions to numb yourself to painful thoughts and feelings. Would like to change your priorities and learn to manage and understand your thoughts so they don't rule your life. Get complaints from your boss, spouse, or family members about your distraction, disengagement, agitation, or constant stress. Simply desire a more centered, calm and peaceful lifestyle. The bottom line? If you desire to have a simplified, calm mental life and reclaim some of the time and emotional energy you give up to overthinking and anxiety, then you've come to the right place. Throughout this book, you'll not only learn the skills you need to declutter and manage your thoughts, but also discover actionable strategies to implement immediately. We've got a lot of ground to cover, so let's jump in and discuss why we're so trapped by our thoughts and how it's impacting us. Part 1. Decluttering Your Thoughts. 4 Causes of Mental Clutter. It's not a daily increase, but a daily decrease. Hack away at the inessentials. Bruce Lee. Before we dive into the various exercises to eliminate your negative thinking, it's important to first understand why you have these thoughts. So, in this section, we'll go over 4 causes of mental clutter. Cause number 1, daily stress. An excessive amount of stress is the primary reason why many people feel overwhelmed by life. In fact, the stress created by information overload, physical clutter, and the endless choices required from these things can trigger an array of mental health issues like generalized anxiety, panic attacks, and depression. Couple this stress with the legitimate worries and concerns in your life, and you may find yourself with sleep problems, muscle pain, headaches, chest pain, frequent infections, and stomach and intestinal disorders, according to the American Psychological Association. Not to mention dozens of studies supporting the connection between stress and physical problems. Dan Harris, ABC News anchor and author of the book 10% Happier, didn't acknowledge how the stress of mental overload was impacting him until he had a full-blown panic attack on national television. His demanding and competitive job, which took him to the front lines of Afghanistan, Israel, Palestine, and Iraq, had left him depressed and anxious. He self-medicated his internal pain with recreational drugs, triggering the on-air attack. After a meeting with his doctor, Dan had a wake-up call about his mental state. He says in a post on the ABC website, "As I sat there in his office, the sheer enormity of my mindlessness started to sink in. From hurtling headlong into war zones without considering the psychological consequences, to using drugs for a synthetic squirt of replacement adrenaline, it was as if I'd been sleepwalking through a cascade of moronic behavior." Dan's moronic behavior was simply a human reaction to everything that was happening in his head. When life becomes so intense and complicated, our psyches search out escape ramps. Too much input, too much negative exposure, and too many choices can trigger a not-so-healthy coping response. Cause number 2. The Paradox of Choice. The freedom of choice, something revered in free societies, can have a diminishing point of return when it comes to mental health. Psychologist Barry Schwartz coined the phrase paradox of choice, which sums up his findings that increased choice leads to greater anxiety, indecision, paralysis, and dissatisfaction. More choices might afford objectively better results, but they won't make you happy. Consider a simple trip to the grocery store. According to the Food Marketing Institute, in 2014, there were 42,214 items carried in the average supermarket. What once might have been a 10-minute excursion to grab the necessities now requires at least that much time to agonize over the best brand of yogurt or the right gluten-free crackers. Try to purchase a pair of jeans, the staple of most wardrobes, and you'll be faced with an endless array of decisions. Baggy fit, boot cut, skinny, wide leg, vintage wash, button fly, zipper. A simple purchase is enough to make you hyperventilate. Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg, and even President Obama made the decision to limit their clothing options to minimize feelings of overwhelm from making decisions. In an article from Michael Lewis for Vanity Fair, the president explained the logic behind his limited wardrobe selections. "You'll see I wear only gray or blue suits," Obama said. "I'm trying to pare down decisions. I don't want to make decisions about what I'm eating or wearing, because I have too many other decisions to make." Cause number 3. Too much stuff. Our homes are filled with clothes we never wear, books we won't read, toys that are unused, and gadgets that don't see the light of day. Our computer inboxes are overflowing, our desktops are cluttered, and our phones are flashing messages like, "You need more storage." As mentioned in 10-Minute Digital Declutter, we've become such slaves to our gadgets that we'd rather have the quick fix of instant information or entertainment over real-world interactions and experiences. With this constant flow of information and access to technology, becoming mass consumers of things and data is easier than ever. At the click of a button, we can order anything from a book to a motorboat and have it delivered to our doorstep. We're filling our homes with things we don't need and filling our time with a steady stream of tweets, updates, articles, blog posts, and cat videos. Information and stuff is piling up around us, and yet we feel helpless to do anything about it. All this extraneous stuff and data not only sucks our time and productivity, but also produces reactive, anxious, and negative thoughts. Like, my Facebook friend looks like she's having a happy life. My life sucks. Should I buy that Fitbit and start tracking my health so I don't die too early? Oh no, I forgot that How to Make a Million Before You're 30 webinar. What if they shared something really important? Everything seems important and urgent. Every email and text must be answered. Every latest device or contraption must be purchased. This keeps us constantly stirred up, busy with trivialities, and detached from the people around us and the feelings within us. We often feel like we don't have time to declutter, because we're too busy consuming new stuff and information. But at some point, all this busyness is leading us to mental and emotional exhaustion. As we process everything coming at us, we analyze, ruminate, and worry ourselves to the breaking point. How have we lost sight of the values and life priorities that once kept us balanced and sane? What can we do about it? We can't go back in time and live without technology. We can't renounce all of our worldly possessions and dwell in a cave. We have to figure out a way to live in this modern world without losing our sanity. Decluttering our stuff and cutting back on time spent with our digital devices does help eliminate some of the anxiety and negative thinking. But we still have plenty of reason to get lost in the mental clutter of negative thinking, worry, and regret. We worry about our health, our jobs, our kids, the economy, our relationships, how we look, what other people think of us, terrorism, politics, pain from the past, and our unpredictable futures. Our thoughts about these things make us suffer and undermine the happiness we could experience right now if we didn't have that constant voice in our heads stirring things up. Cause number 4, the negativity bias. But it was in this moment, lying in bed late at night, that I first realized that the voice in my head, the running commentary that had dominated my field of consciousness since I could remember, was kind of an asshole. Dan Harris. The human nervous system has been evolving for 600 million years, but it still responds the same as our early human ancestors who faced life-threatening situations many times a day and simply needed to survive. Dr. Rick Hansen, senior fellow of the Greater Good Science Center at UC Berkeley, in an article on his website says, "To keep our ancestors alive, Mother Nature evolved a brain that routinely tricked them into making 3 mistakes: overestimating threats, underestimating opportunities, and underestimating resources for dealing with threats and fulfilling opportunities. Thus evolved the negativity bias, our tendency to react to negative stimuli more intensely than positive. Negative stimuli produce more neural activity than do equally intense, that is, loud, bright, positive ones. They're also perceived more easily and quickly." Hansen says, "The brain is like Velcro for negative experiences, but Teflon for positive ones." So what does the negativity bias have to do with your thoughts? It means that you're hardwired to overthink, worry, and view situations more negatively than they are in reality. You see threats as more threatening, and challenges as more challenging. Any negative thought that enters your mind feels real, so there's an impulse to accept it as reality. But you're not living in a cave, facing life-threatening situations daily. You may be hardwired to think negatively, but you don't have to accept this predisposition. Sam Harris says, "There's an alternative to simply identifying with the next thought that pops into consciousness. That alternative is mindfulness. Mindfulness can be practiced in the most mundane activities, and it can be fostered through specific exercises that are provided throughout this book. Mindfulness requires retraining your brain to stay out of the mental clutter from the future and focus instead on the present moment. When you're mindful, you no longer attach to your thoughts. You are simply present in whatever you happen to be doing. Sounds simple, right? The concept is deceptively simple, but changing your thinking is not so easy. As with building any other habit, decluttering your mind requires practice, patience, and a willingness to start small, then grow from there. Fortunately, we'll show how to do all of this throughout this book. Not only will you learn the practices to train your brain and control your thoughts, but you'll also build these specific habits that will support these mental practices on a daily basis. In the remainder of this section, we'll go over 4 habits you can use to declutter your thoughts. You'll find that, as you master your thinking, you'll not only be more focused and productive, but also feel more at peace with all the crazy demands of modern life. So let's dive into the first habit that will retrain your brain: focused breathing. Mental declutter habit number 1, focused deep breathing. Feelings come and go like clouds in a windy sky. Conscious breathing is my anchor. Thich Nhat Hanh. Even though you take about 20,000 breaths a day, you probably don't think about your breathing very often. Your brain adjusts to your breathing and to the needs of your body automatically. When you're climbing stairs or going for a run, you don't have to think, I better breathe deeper and harder to get more oxygen to my muscles. It just happens. To adjust your breathing to your body's changing needs, sensors in your brain, blood vessels, muscles, and lungs handle the job for you. However, whenever you want to take over, you have that power. You can slow down your breathing, change where you breathe from, chest or abdomen, and even make your breaths shallow or deep. A change in breathing is often the first sign that our thoughts are overwhelming and stressful. When we feel anxious, depressed, rushed, or upset, we may experience rapid breathing or shortness of breath. Our modern lifestyles and job settings also contribute to improper, shallow breathing. As Barry writes in her book, Peace of Mindfulness, Everyday Rituals to Conquer Anxiety and Claim Unlimited Inner Peace. Unfortunately, we are sedentary most of the day, so there's less need to breathe deeply the way our ancestors did in order to hunt, gather, farm, and perform other manual labor. Sitting behind our desks or slumped on the couch watching TV, we've developed a habit of short and shallow breathing. When we're in a hurry and rushed, our breathing follows suit with quick, nervous breaths. When we're stressed, anxious, or focused on a problem, our bodies contract and we bend forward with our heads down, arms together, and muscles tensed. All of these postures constrict breathing. Sometimes when we're absorbed with stress and worry, the muscles that move the thorax and control inhalation and muscular tenseness clamp down like a vise to restrict exhalation, and we forget to breathe altogether. You may not pay much attention to your breathing and your posture, but by simply becoming more aware of how you breathe, you foster a calmer state of body and mind. Start paying attention to your breathing and simply become aware of how you're taking in and releasing air throughout your day. We recommend keeping 4 things in mind while building the focused deep breathing habit. 1. Rather than slouching at your desk or on the sofa at home, sit up straighter to allow more room for your lungs to take in oxygen. Become aware of areas where your body is tense, and mentally breathe into those areas, seeing them relax as you breathe. 2. Be conscious of breathing through your nose rather than your mouth. Your nose has defense mechanisms that prevent impurities and excessively cold air from entering your body. Your nose can also detect poisonous gases that could be harmful to you. Viruses and bacteria can enter the lungs through mouth breathing, so let your nose do the work. 3. When you inhale, use abdominal breathing by gently pushing your stomach outward, and breathe through as though you're filling your stomach. On the exhale, breathe out slowly and allow your stomach to return to its normal position. 4. Pay attention to the difference between shallow breathing, which stops at the chest, and abdominal or diaphragmatic breathing, which fills the lower lobes of the lungs and encourages full oxygen exchange. Abdominal breathing also massages the abdominal organs through the movements of the diaphragm. One of the best ways to detach from negative thoughts and gain control over your mind is through slow, deep, rhythmic breathing. This focused breathing stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system, reducing your heart rate, relaxing muscles, calming the mind, and normalizing brain function. Deep breathing helps you feel connected to your body, shifting your awareness away from worry and quieting the inner dialogue in your brain. The physiological changes that occur with deep breathing are referred to as the relaxation response. The relaxation response is a term first coined by Dr. Herbert Benson, professor, author, cardiologist, and founder of Harvard's Mind-Body Medical Institute. He wrote the book, The Relaxation Response, in which he shares the benefits of a variety of relaxation techniques, including diaphragmatic breathing, in treating a wide range of stress-related disorders. Benson says, The relaxation response is a physical state of deep rest that changes the physical and emotional responses to stress, and the opposite of the fight-or-flight response. In addition to promoting the relaxation response, deep breathing has many well-researched health benefits. Here's a summary of what deep nose breathing can do for you. Boost nitric oxide, a powerful immune-boosting molecule produced in the sinuses during nose breathing. Improve the quality of your blood through eliminating toxins and increased oxygenation. Assist the digestion and assimilation of food through a more efficient stomach and digestive system. Increase the health and function of the nervous system by increased oxygenation. Improve the function of the abdominal organs and the heart through increased circulation. Help prevent respiratory problems as the lungs become stronger and more powerful. Reduce blood pressure and help prevent heart disease as the heart becomes more efficient and stronger and the workload on the heart is reduced. Assist in weight control as extra oxygen burns excess fat more efficiently. By practicing a few minutes of deep abdominal breathing every day, you're building a lifelong habit proven through years of research and testing to clear your mind, reduce stress, and promote relaxation of the mind and body. Barry likes to practice deep breathing several times a day when she takes a break from work and before bed to prepare her mind and body for sleep. You can practice mindful breathing just about anywhere at any time of day, especially when you find yourself overthinking or feeling stressed and anxious. Even a few minutes of mindful breathing a day can improve your sense of well-being and mental calm. However, you might want to develop a regular practice of deep breathing at a specific time of day, as focused breathing is the foundation for a meditation practice, which we'll discuss in the next chapter. If you establish a 5 to 10 minute breathing habit, you can easily use this habit as a trigger and starting point for your meditation practice. Here's a 7-step process you can use to develop the practice of deep breathing on a daily basis. 1. Determine a time of day to practice deep breathing, preferably after a daily habit you perform consistently, like brushing your teeth. Morning is always a good time to practice, as it sets the tone for your day. However, you may find you want to take a break in the middle of the day, as things get more hectic during your workday. Before bed is another good time, as it promotes a restful state before sleep. 2. Select a setting for your breathing practice in a quiet space where you won't be distracted or interrupted. Turn off your phone, computer, and any other device that might disturb you. 3. Set a timer for 10 minutes. 4. Sit on the floor with a pillow in a meditative position, like the lotus position, or in a chair with your spine straight and feet planted on the floor. Let your hands rest gently in your lap. 5. Inhale slowly through your nose until your lungs are filled to capacity, allowing your stomach to push out on the inhalation. 6. At the end of the inhalation, pause for a count of 2. 7. Exhale slowly, smoothly, and completely, allowing your stomach to return to its natural position. Pause at the end of the exhalation as well. When you first begin, don't take in too much air in one breath. Start by breathing to the count of 4, pausing for the count of 2, and exhaling to the count of 4. If you notice you're hyperventilating, don't breathe in quite as deeply. With practice, you'll enlarge your lung capacity and can inhale more air. Now let's move on to another mindfulness practice that involves focused breathing but takes you to another level of calm, mental clarity, and inner peace. Mental declutter habit number 2, meditation. Meditation is not a way of making your mind quiet. It's a way of entering into the quiet that's already there, buried under the 50,000 thoughts the average person thinks every day. Deepak Chopra. You don't have to be a Buddhist, a mystic, or crystal-carrying ex-hippie to practice meditation. You can belong to any spiritual or religious faith or have no religious affiliation at all to reap the benefits of meditation and use it as a tool for decluttering your mind. If you've never practiced meditation or you're not familiar with it, you might be put off by the idea of sitting quietly in the lotus position and emptying your mind. But don't let the clichés about meditating cave dwellers prevent you from giving it a try. In his book 10% Happier, Dan Harris says, meditation suffers from a towering PR problem. If you can get past the cultural baggage, though, what you'll find is that meditation is simply exercise for your brain. Meditation has been practiced for thousands of years and originates in ancient Buddhist, Hindu, and Chinese traditions. There are dozens of styles of meditative practices, but most practices begin with the same steps, sitting quietly, focusing attention on your breath, and dismissing any distractions that come your way. The goal of meditation varies depending on the type of meditation practice and the desired outcome of the meditator. For our purposes here, we suggest meditation as a tool to help you train your mind and control your thoughts, both when you're sitting in meditation and when you aren't. The benefits of meditating translate to your daily life, helping you control worry and overthinking, and providing a host of health benefits that we'll discuss below. The key to finding satisfaction with meditation is simply to practice. By making a daily commitment to meditation, you'll improve your skills and discover how the mental, physical, and emotional benefits increase over time. Barry has noticed that, on the days she meditates, she's less anxious and agitated, and more focused in her work, especially with writing. She's also noticed an increased ability to stay in the present moment and redirect herself back to the task at hand whenever she feels tempted by a potential distraction. Finally, Barry uses short meditation breaks during the day to help her relax during particularly stressful times. The steps to meditating are simple and straightforward, but the practice is not as easy as it seems. You'll discover that, at first, trying to quiet your mind and maintain focus is like attempting to train fleas. But the more you practice, the easier and more enjoyable the experience becomes. As Professor David Levy describes it to USA Today, meditation is a lot like doing reps at a gym. It strengthens your attention muscle. Of all the strategies outlined in this book, meditation is the one that can have the most profound impact on your overall well-being. Meditation has long been touted as a way to improve concentration and focus, but only recently have studies confirmed these claims. A study from the University of Washington showed that meditation increases productivity and promotes focus. Another study published in Brain Research Bulletin supports the claims that meditation can decrease stress. A University of Massachusetts Medical School study has shown meditation can boost your overall brain power in a number of ways. Other studies have shown how meditation can help preserve the aging brain, improve the symptoms of depression and anxiety, thicken the learning and memory areas of the brain, and help with addiction. Research has found that meditation also promotes divergent thinking, a type of thinking that fosters creativity by allowing many new ideas to be generated. Our main point in sharing this research is to reinforce the profound benefits of meditation, benefits not only demonstrated by thousands of years of anecdotal evidence, but also validated by solid scientific research. If you have any doubt that meditation is worth your time and effort, hopefully you're beginning to shift your opinion. Let's get started with a very simple 10-minute meditation Barry and Steve practice that you can begin today. There isn't anything fancy or complicated about the practice. You don't need special clothes or equipment. All you need is a quiet space and the willingness to stick to it. Here's a simple 11-step process you can use to build the meditation habit. 1. Select a quiet, calm space for your meditation practice where you can close the door to be completely alone. 2. Determine a specific time of day for your practice. If you've begun a deep breathing practice, you can use this as your trigger and starting point for your new meditation habit. Or you can choose another trigger and practice meditating at another time of day. 3. Decide whether you want to meditate sitting on a pillow on the floor or in a straight-back chair or sofa. Try not to recline as you meditate, since you might fall asleep. 4. Remove all distractions and turn off all digital devices or other devices and make noise. Remove pets from the room. 5. Set a timer for 10 minutes. 6. Sit comfortably either in a chair or cross-legged on the floor with a cushion. Keep your spine erect and your hands resting gently in your lap. 7. Close your eyes or keep them open with a downward-focused gaze. Then take a few deep cleansing breaths through your nose. We recommend 3 or 4 breaths at a time. 8. Gradually become aware of your breathing. Notice the air moving in and out through your nostrils and the rise and fall of your chest and abdomen. Allow your breaths to come naturally without forcing them. 9. Focus your attention on the sensation of breathing, perhaps even mentally thinking the word in as you inhale and out as you exhale. 10. Your thoughts will wander a lot in the beginning. Every time they do, gently let them go, and then return your attention to the sensation of breathing. Don't judge yourself for having intrusive thoughts. That's just your monkey mind trying to take over. Just lead your mind back to focused attention on breathing. You may have to do this dozens of times at first. 11. As you focus on breathing, you'll likely notice other perceptions and sensations like sounds, physical discomfort, emotions, etc. Simply notice these as they arise in your awareness and then gently return to the sensation of breathing. Your goal is to increasingly become the witness to all sounds, sensations, emotions, and thoughts as they arise and pass away. View them as though you're observing them from a distance without judgment or internal comment. Rather than your mind taking control and running away whenever a thought or distraction occurs, you eventually gain more and more control of your mind and your ability to redirect it back to the present. In the beginning, you'll feel you're in a constant battle with your monkey mind. But with practice, you won't need to constantly redirect your thoughts. Thoughts begin to drop away naturally, and your mind opens up to the immense stillness and vastness of just being present. This is a deeply peaceful, satisfying experience. Meditation masters refer to this space of stillness as the gap, the silent space between thoughts. At first, the gap is very narrow, and it's difficult to remain there for more than a few nanoseconds. As you become a more practiced meditator, you'll find the gap opens wider and more frequently, and you can rest in it for longer periods of time. You can experience a brief moment of the space between thoughts by trying this exercise. Close your eyes and begin to notice your thoughts. Simply watch them come and go for a few seconds. Then ask yourself the question, where will my next thought come from? Stop and wait for the answer. You may notice there's a short gap in your thinking while you await the answer. Eckhart Tolle, author of the book, The Power of Now, suggests this gap experience is like a cat watching a mouse hole. You're awake and waiting, but with no thoughts in that gap. You can also practice this space between thoughts exercise by putting yourself in a state of deep listening. Sit quietly and listen intently as though you're trying to hear a quiet and distant sound. Again, you are alert, awake, and waiting without the distraction of thought. You may not experience a gap moment in your early days of meditating. In fact, you may find that you're constantly redirecting your thoughts, noticing your physical discomforts, and wondering why you're bothering with this silly practice at all. You may judge yourself harshly for not getting it right, or wonder if you're making any progress at all. During meditation, your mind might wander off on a meandering dialogue about how you're feeling and how the meditation is going. Or if you experience a space between thought moment, you might get distracted by the thrill of finally experiencing it. Your job is always to simply observe and redirect your mind back to the present moment, to your breathing. The goal of your meditation practice is not to reach nirvana or have a spiritual awakening. It's simply to strengthen your control over your mind until your mind gets the message and gives in. The results of your efforts will be a mental house that you control, rather than the other way around. Some beginning meditators prefer to use a guided meditation to help them get the feel for the practice and stay focused. You can find many free guided meditations online, and there are dozens of smartphone apps available. We recommend three to get started. 1. Buddhify has over 80 custom guided audio meditation tracks on various topics. 2. Omvana, with dozens of guided meditations by very famous authors, teachers, and spiritual celebrities. 3. Headspace has a series of 10-minute guided exercises for your mind. If you find you enjoy meditating, gradually increase your practice from 10 minutes a day to 30 minutes, or you can try 2 15-minute meditation sessions during different parts of the day. Stephen Barry finds it's valuable to keep a meditation diary to make notes about your experiences and feelings during meditation. Try to write in it immediately following your meditation so your memory is fresh. Write down how uncomfortable or distracted you felt, and whether or not you felt the space between thought for any period of time. Also, write about any changes in your daily mental state, whether you're feeling more or less anxious, stressed, or worried. Over time, you'll have a document reflecting how you've improved with your practice, as well as how the practice has impacted your overall state of mind. Now, if meditation isn't your thing, then you might want to consider a different habit where you learn how to reframe the negative thoughts that often pop into your mind. So, let's talk about that next. Mental declutter habit number 3. Reframe all negative thoughts. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, either way, you're right. Henry Ford. Our thinking processes are necessary for survival and for competing in a modern world. Critical thinking gives us the ability to solve problems quickly and effectively. Creative thinking allows us to develop original, diverse, and elaborate ideas and connections. But it's the uninvited negative thinking that clutters our minds and often drains our enthusiasm for life. According to Australian psychologist Dr. Russ Harris, author of The Happiness Trap, How to Stop Struggling and Start Living, thus evolution has shaped our brains so that we're hardwired to suffer psychologically, to compare, evaluate, and criticize ourselves, to focus on what we're lacking, to rapidly become dissatisfied with what we have, and to imagine all sorts of frightening scenarios, most of which will never happen. No wonder humans find it hard to be happy. Many people go through their entire lives victimized by their negative thoughts. They feel they have no control over what thoughts take up residence in their brains. And worse, they believe the voices in their heads that tell them the sky is falling. While the negativity bias is real, it isn't impervious to your efforts for change and self-awareness. Though it may feel natural to allow your mind to wander into worry and despair, you've reinforced negative thinking by not challenging it, and by accepting your thoughts as your identity. But you have the power to recognize this tendency and change it by building a reframing habit. The first step is to notice your thought patterns and interrupt them before they get out of control. Here are 6 strategies you can use throughout your day to break the pattern and begin taming your mind. Each of these strategies takes just a few minutes to employ. Strategy number 1. Be the watcher. Start by becoming aware of your thoughts. Separate yourself from your thoughts and just observe what's going on in your mind. The trick here is to do this in an impartial manner where you're not judging any particular thought. Simply be conscious of yourself as a detached witness to your thoughts. This exercise can be done sporadically throughout the day or during a meditation session. Observing your thoughts rather than attaching to them disempowers the thoughts and the emotions they foster. Strategy number 2. Name that thought. Another way to separate yourself from your thoughts is by mentally acknowledging that they are nothing more than thoughts, not your reality. For example, if you think, "I'll never get all of this done," change the mental dialogue to, "I'm having the thought that I'll never get all of this done." This reinforces the fact that you are not your thoughts. Strategy number 3. Just say no. When you catch yourself in mental looping or worry, simply say, "Stop," out loud. Vocalizing reinforces the interruption. And then visualize a heavy metal wall slamming down in front of your runaway thoughts. Barry sometimes visualizes pushing negative thoughts into a deep hole or putting them into a balloon that floats away. Strategy number 4. Try the rubber band trick. Wear a rubber band on your wrist. Whenever you see it, stop and notice your thoughts. If you're stuck in negative thinking, put the rubber band on the other wrist or gently pop it on your wrist. This physical action interrupts the flow of negative thought. Strategy number 5. Know your triggers. Often, overthinking and negativity are triggered by a person, situation, or physical state. Pay attention to common worries and anxieties you brood about. Is there anything that happens that sets these off in your mind? If so, write down the triggers so you're aware when they happen. This awareness can help prevent you from being ambushed by negative thoughts. Strategy number 6. Distract yourself. Break the cycle using distraction. Do something that will occupy your mind so there's no room for negative thoughts. Immerse yourself in a project that involves focus and brain power. If you're stuck in the car or waiting in line, go through the multiplication tables in your head or try to memorize a poem. Mental declutter habit number 4. Teach your old mind new tricks. Truthfully, you'll always struggle with some amount of negative thinking. You can't overcome millions of years of evolutionary wiring through sheer willpower. As Dr. Russ Harris says, any search for a pain-free existence is doomed to failure. However, you can manage the pain by being more proactive in what you allow to remain in your thoughts. Interrupting cluttered thinking is only part of the process of retraining your brain and learning to disassociate from negative thoughts. Your mind abhors a vacuum, so you need to fill the void with constructive thought so you don't careen back into old patterns. Here are 4 ways to do this. Number 1. Challenge the thought and replace it. You may notice that many of your thoughts are wildly exaggerated. They're not the truth, or at least not the whole truth. You might think, "I'm a loser. I can never do anything right." In the moment, you certainly feel like a loser, but if you examine the thought, you recognize that it's not entirely truthful. You've done plenty of things well and have been successful on many occasions. Rather than allowing all-or-nothing thinking to have a free pass, Challenge these negative thoughts whenever they occur. This simply means coming up with a concrete example that contradicts the thought by reminding yourself of a positive event or previous win. For instance, let's say you're a writer who receives a negative review on a recent book. Your first thought might be, "I'm a terrible writer. Everyone hates what I write." However, if you take the time to look at the 100 previous positive reviews, then you'll recognize that the majority of your readers love your content. Using positive reminders might feel awkward at first, but eventually you'll train yourself to interrupt those cycles of negative thinking. This habit helps you take control of your reality and puts a roadblock in front of the never-ending highway of self-sabotaging beliefs. Number 2. Practice acceptance. One question you might have is, what do you do about those negative thoughts that are true? In other words, how do you cope in those times when there's a legitimate reason for having negative thoughts? The truth is that there are times when you'll feel like it's impossible to maintain a positive outlook. However, it's also true that the thoughts and feelings about these challenging situations are often far worse than the situation itself. You can't completely eradicate your troubled thoughts during hard times, but you can lessen them through acceptance. When you struggle against the reality of a bad situation, you're adding another layer of suffering to your psyche. You can't worry or guilt yourself into a solution. Instead, you need a clear head and a calm mind. When you find yourself struggling and ruminating, stop for a moment and simply say, "I accept this situation is happening." Take a deep breath and try to stop mentally fighting against it. As you begin to accept this challenge, you can determine any actions to take to improve or rectify it. Seek out anything positive you can learn from it. Find ways to get support as you are enduring it. Acceptance of a situation doesn't mean you avoid action. It means you don't blindly fight and claw to escape. You put yourself in a state of mind that allows you to take correct and useful action. Number 3. Take mindful action. Overthinking is usually a pointless activity, so why not turn that energy into structured thinking and then action? When your thoughts are cluttered, do something positive that will distract you from negative thoughts. Just about anything that requires some brain power and focus will do the trick, but we suggest you take mindful action. Action that focuses on your values, goals, or priorities. A quick way to do this is to define your goals, which is something we'll discuss in the next section. In fact, one of the first mindful actions you could take is to define your values and priorities for the next year. Some other ideas that you might try include writing, practicing an instrument, constructing something by hand, painting or drawing, working on a complex problem, studying, memorizing something, practicing a speech, designing something from scratch. All of these activities require focus and some level of mental challenge, which helps prevent you from falling back into random overthinking or worry. Number 4. Set a worry timer. You can't completely break the worry habit. There will be times when you're flooded with such powerful negative thoughts that no amount of self-talk or distraction works. But even during these times, you don't have to fall headfirst into the quicksand of negative thinking. You can limit the amount of time you spend in your head so you don't sink so far you can't easily get out. Set a timer for 10 to 15 minutes and allow yourself to stress over whatever enters your mind. Get it all out. Take this time to express all of the bottled up feelings and thoughts. In fact, during your worry time, you might even write down your thoughts in a journal. Writing in longhand helps you process your thoughts and can often lead to a creative solution to your problem. When the timer goes off, get up and do something distracting, as suggested in the previous strategy, to help you taper off of this worry time. If you find one worry session isn't enough, plan for one early in the day and one later in the afternoon. When you start to get back into your head in between sessions, remind yourself to hold off until the next one. Final thoughts on decluttering your thoughts. You may not use all of these strategies for training your mind to work more constructively, but they give you an arsenal of tools to choose from, so you're prepared. Barry has found the ability to challenge thoughts and recognize how they don't always reflect reality to be particularly helpful in reducing worry and overthinking. You'll discover which of these practices work best for you, and the mental clutter that often occupies your mind. Don't get discouraged if you find yourself falling back into old patterns. With any new behavior, you have to practice regularly before it becomes more automatic. Now let's switch gears by talking about the importance of identifying your why and how it can eliminate many of the mental obstacles that occur and streamline your life where you focus on what matters most to you. Part 2. Decluttering Your Life Obligations. The importance of core values. One of the challenges of modern living is figuring out what's truly important and differentiating those from the obligations that seem important at first, but really don't matter when you take the time to examine them. If you're like most people, then you might find that it's increasingly difficult to minimize, organize, or bypass the deluge of information you encounter on a regular basis. Today, we have more information, data, and material possessions available to us than any previous generation. But this new way of life doesn't come with instructions on how to manage it all. Many of us feel so overwhelmed that we fail to step back and assess the impact of information overload. Nor do we know how to prioritize it all. We become reactors to what life throws at us, rather than carefully evaluating what is best for us. Our grandparents and great-grandparents were certainly as busy as we are. They didn't have the benefit of all of the time-saving technology to make their lives easier and more productive. But they did have one big advantage over our generation. They weren't inundated with a stream of information and deluge of choices that we experience every minute of the day. They were clear on how to prioritize their time, with less money and fewer choices to entice or confuse them. The greatest generation, those who grew up during the Great Depression, had strong, clear values and priorities, and a solid sense of purpose forged during the difficult years during and after World War II. A strong work ethic, coupled with a focus on family, faith, and patriotism, define this generation of Americans. They knew who they were and what they stood for, and therefore how to focus their time and energy. Fortunately, there's actually a simple solution to cutting through the noise of modern society, which can help you make effective decisions whenever you feel overwhelmed by all of the available options. Define your core values. Why core values? One of the simplest ways to eliminate mental clutter and live a more fulfilling life is to define your values and guiding principles for your life. Now, more than ever, we need these principles to help us clarify how we want to spend our time, energy, and money. Why is this important? Because your core values can serve as a measuring stick for all of your choices and decisions in life, keeping you focused on the person you want to be and the life you wish to lead. By living in alignment with your values, you create the best environment for happiness, inner peace, and clear thinking. Core values form a foundation for your life that endures through time, life difficulties, and major changes. Embracing your core values is like being a tree with deep and stable roots. The storms of life will not dislodge you. When you're clear on your values, you reduce confusion, overthinking, worry, and anxiety. For example, one of Barry's core values in her professional life is freedom and flexibility. Once she defined this value, she didn't want to pursue a traditional 9-to-5 job because she knew she wouldn't be happy. Even when great job opportunities came her way, it was easy to say, no thank you, because she was clear on her values. Personal development blogger and author Steve Pavlina describes the importance of core values like this. Values act as our compass to put us back on course every single day, so that day after day, we're moving in the direction that takes us closer and closer to our definition of the best life we could possibly live. The best is your own ideal, but generally, as you get closer to this ideal, you'll enjoy increasingly positive shades of better even if you never reach best. And this makes sense, because many results in life exist on a continuum. Living out of alignment with your values or outgrowing your existing values can throw you off course and contribute to feelings of anxiety and depression. If you haven't defined your values, your life can feel unbalanced or directionless, and you may not know why. In this section, we go over 4 strategies to define your core values and make intelligent decisions about your life obligations, so what you do on a daily basis matches up with these important items. Strategy number 1. Identify your core values. To understand why something feels wrong, you must have a strong grasp of what is right for you. Who do you want to be, and how do you want to live your life? If you've never defined your values, you are sailing the sea of life without a compass. You're allowing the winds and storms to define your direction and accepting the outcome without question. Even if you've defined them in the past, it doesn't hurt to revisit them, as your values can change over time. Here's a 6-step process for defining your values. 1. First, go through this list of value words on Barry's blog, Live Bold and Bloom, and write down every value word that feels important to you for your personal life. 2. Then go through the list again and write down every value word that feels important for your career or business.